Today we continue the Deacon Sermon Series on the seven deadly sins. And my homily is going to cover the deadly sin of lust, love in all the wrong places. As usual, I let the other deacon choose their homilies, topics first, and I took what was left over. I should have known I would get this topic and just picked it first. Lust is a sin we've all probably committed or will commit at some point in our lives. My challenge in preparing for this homily is, how do I discuss a sin no one wants to hear about, but everyone needs to understand and avoid? How do I talk about a sin that the children do not understand and the rest of us don't want to be reminded that it's out there? Well, first you pray about it. Then you go to the Holy Spirit, and wherever He leads you, that's where you go. And for me, it was the church and the Bible. The Catechism defines lust as the disordered desire or an inordinate enjoyment of sexual pleasure. Sexual pleasure is morally disordered when sought for itself, isolated from its procreative and unitive purposes. Webster's dictionary defines lust as a noun that means a strong sexual desire or strong longing or craving. As a verb, lust means to have a strong desire, especially a sexual desire. Now, people use the phrase, he or she has a lust for life. That is a strong desire to live a full and rich life. Looking at the Catechism definition and Webster's definition, lust is a bad thing, thus the deadly sin. But having a lust for life is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be when we put our self-desires ahead of our relationship with God. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:28 that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. So thinking of the sin, you have committed the sin. Throughout the Bible, we have examples of people who let lust control their actions, and when this happens, it usually leads to committing one or more of the other deadly sins. Let's look at David in the second book of Samuel. David remained in Jerusalem as he sent Joab and his army to lay waste to the Amorites and besiege Rabbah. While strolling on his rooftop, he sees a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, bathing. David sent his messengers to get her and bring her to him. He had relations with her, and she became pregnant. When Bathsheba informs David she's pregnant, he has her husband Uriah sent to the front lines without support so he would be killed. In trying to cover up his sin of lust, David commits murder. In the book of Daniel, we read of Joachim's wife Susanna, a very beautiful and God-fearing woman, who was accused of committing adultery by two elders because she would not lay with them. The two elders bear false witness against her and are willing to have Susanna killed to cover up their sin of lust. The Lord answers Susanna's prayers for help by sending Daniel to her aid, and he exposes the two elders for their deceit and lies. Susanna's reputation is saved, and the two elders lose their life because of their sins. As you can see, one deadly sin usually leads to one or more of the other deadly sins. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God. We put our own desires ahead of our relationship with God, and we begin to move farther and farther away from Him as our sins multiply. In the first letter of John, we are told, "For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life is not from the Father, but of the world." Look at our advertisements, the television shows, music, and movies. The world tells us that we should desire this or want for that. By the way, they display then disrespect the person, the family, love, and life itself. The world tells us it's okay to lust for one another in the most inappropriate ways, to find self-gratification for a moment's pleasure. But when the pleasure is over and the moment is past, we are left empty and wanting. So what do we do next? We desire more and sin more and move ourselves even farther away from God. But does it have to be this way? How do we stop the cycle? How do we deal with lust? The answer is simple. It's the same for this deadly sin as it is for the others. You return to the Lord. Continuing from the first letter, John, we are told, "Yet the world and its enticements are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever." In Romans 13, we are told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the desires of the flesh. And in Psalms 119, we are told we can keep his way without fault only by observing his word. "With all my heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. In my heart I treasure your promise, that I may not sin against you." Repentance for our sins is the first step to repairing our relationship with God. We must make our relationship with the Lord the thing that we lust for the most. Lust for life with the Lord for all eternity is a good thing that will last forever and bring you the most satisfaction. It's also something that you can share with your spouse, your family, your friends, and even your enemies. In Paul's letter to the Hebrews, he wrote, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God." In Father Donald Calloway's book, Consecration to Joseph, he has a prayer to Saint Joseph for purity, and it goes like this. "Saint Joseph, strong spiritual father, defend me against sins of the flesh. Jesus said, 'Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God.' Saint Joseph, terror of demons, protect me from lust, immoral desires in my heart, and impure actions in my body. Help me not to offend God. Here and now I chain myself to you and sacrifice everything for the good, the true, and the beautiful. I love you, Saint Joseph, and I thank you for being my spiritual father. Amen." God bless you, and know that you are loved.